This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You know, everybody just becomes a lesser version of themselves, and good people, too. I mean, some really good football people, just not as good as what they were. And that's the danger here, is like, yeah, is Ben Johnson going to be the same guy in Chicago that he was in Detroit? I have my doubts about that, because everybody becomes worse.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Saturday Suckage. And voice you heard is my next guest. Now joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Mark Potash. Download the Circa app today. No affiliation. He's just Mark Potash, because after 38 years at the Sun-Times, his last day was yesterday, and he was one of the many cool kids leaving school. And I think it sucks, which is appropriate for Saturday Suckage. Mark, congratulations. I don't recall signing off on this, so I don't think it really counts. How are you today?
Well, I've had better days, I guess, but, you know, I'll make the most of it. That's kind of the plan.
So is it hard after all those years? It doesn't sound like this is anything you wanted to do and did it reluctantly, did you?
Yeah, I would say it was definitely reluctant. I mean, you know, really enjoyed covering the Bears, but probably wasn't going to get that opportunity. That's the impression I got. So, that wasn't the best part of it, especially, you know, my timing's always impeccable. You know, the Bears are probably going to be good now. And so I'm going to miss that. So hoping to, you know, still find a way to get back in, but it'll have to be through a back door, I guess. But I'll make it work one way or another. I always have.
So when you say it feels like you were pushed because they were rattling the saber of layoffs, and they offered a lot of people, and you and Rick Morrissey and Daryl Von Schauen and Richard Roper, among others, took the buyout as opposed to being shoved out. And that, do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, that's how it goes and that's how it went. Yeah, absolutely.
So on, I will alert our audience that I will share with the class on Mark's Twitter or X feed, whatever you want to call it. There are a mesmerizing, headache-inducing side-by-side picture of, makes me ask the question, did you save every press pass ever from any game you covered?
I think I pretty close, over 90%. Oh. I've been a pack rat all my life, so I've saved every, I mean, I have notepads from interviews I did when I was in college, so I just don't throw anything out. So So I've always saved those, but also, you know, to me, those press passes, they're like a link, you know, to a memory. I know some guys. I always kid Rick Morrissey. He throws his out. I mean, he'll leave his at the event. You know, it just has no sentiment whatsoever for the event. And to me, it's just the opposite. So yeah, I always saved them over, you know, since 1979. And it's kind of fun to kind of go back and look at those, and it just brings you back. Hey, here's where the Bulls won the NBA championship. Here's where the Hawks won their first Stanley Cup in 49 years. Those kind of things. Even a lot of the high school, they weren't a lot of high school press passes, but some of those events there were. And so, yeah, no, it brought back a lot of great memories. It was kind of a fun little pre-retirement, I guess, if you want to call it, project.
A 45-year career, that's what it says on Mark's X feed.
From 79 to 2025, yeah.
So, from the Colts Chiefs on September 2nd, 1979 at Arrowhead Stadium, Bears Packers at January. You went out a winner. Mark, you went out a winner. January 5th, 2025 at Lambeau. You won in Lambeau Field. You went out a winner, dude.
Somehow that's not as much solace for me as it is for the people at Hal's Hall. They cling to that one victory a lot more than I do. But it's potentially a sign of things to come. So I admit that. I mean, I'm bored on that anyway. So that's going to be I guess the toughest part is not being there for if I'm not to miss that. But the last time I left the Bears beat in 2001. They had won 5 games, and the next year they went 13-3. And so this year they've won 5 games, and it would not surprise me if they went 13-3 again.
Great, because
that's a good sign. That's a good thing. It's a good omen. Me leaving is a good omen for the Bears.
And yeah, you're the one we heard coming into this this segment. Mark Potash was the one saying everybody who goes to Hallis Hall becomes a lesser version of themselves.
Yes, that is definitely that's Ben Johnson's challenge, and I can't remember when I was on with that, but since then we've already seen evidence to the contrary, which is what I was certainly looking for, in that we've already seen Ryan Poles attack like the offensive line in a much different way than he did before that he hired Ben Johnson. And that doesn't mean that's going to work out, but he's got a much better chance for it to work out with what he's acquired in free agency via trade and free agent signing. So already we're seeing that Ben Johnson's making Ryan Poles a smarter guy, which is, frankly, that's what I say. Well, I've always said that Ben Johnson's got to change Hallis Hall before it changes him. And I believe in that, and I think you're seeing evidence that is happening right now. It's early, but at least we're seeing evidence that he's making a difference, and that's good. That's good for the Bears.
I think Ben Johnson is looking at the Spiegel catalog, we used to call the Sears catalog, when he used to come and say, I want, I want all these things. And then he hands the pages to Ryan Poles and says, bring me these. And that's the way it's worked out. I remember Rick Smith, the agent for Ben Johnson, talking about what went on in the negotiations. And one of the key questions that caught my ear was Rick Smith asking, are you married to this roster? And I thought that was where Ben Johnson would flex his muscles. This clearly looks like an offseason of Ben Johnson, and Ryan Poles is just listening and doing and doesn't have a lot of input. You think I'm overstating things?
Well, I wouldn't say overstating it. I think it's pretty clear that the Bears have set up a hierarchy, I guess, of that is more in tune with what works in the NFL, which is where the head coach and the general manager are more aligned, are more on the same level. Like you see with McVay, you see with Shanahan. You're seeing Andy Reid. I mean, where the coach has much more say in the roster, and that works, even though it's not it's not exact. I mean, it's not written out, and it's not, you could argue it's not traditional. That's kind of the way it's been going, and I think it's very clear just from everything what that they've done that that they're going to work more hand in hand, and then as opposed to the dynamic where I'm your boss and this is what it's going to be. That's kind of old school, and the Bears, who are usually old school, are kind of getting away from that. So I think that's a good sign. You know, whether he's I wouldn't say that Ben Johnson's the general manager. I won't go that far. But I think that's they at least on paper right now, it looks like they found that nice balance, right? At least at the very beginning, this is the very first step in this. A long way to go, or you hope a long way to go, and that's like again the signs are good that that they're heading in a direction that, you know, towards kind of a framework that works, that has certainly worked in recent years in the NFL.
My guest is Mark Potash. After 38 years in the Sun-Times, his last day was yesterday, most recently covered the Bears. He's a beloved guest here on Saturday Suckage. Appreciate all the time you've made for us. And since you went out reluctantly, and you had to make this decision, are you casting about? Are you looking to stay in the business? Is there looking for a Bear opening somewhere, an opening to cover the Bears somewhere to make sure that they don't go 13-3, something like that?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely want to stay in it. I mean, you know, when it's just like anything else, you know, I just feel like I have so much to offer because I've just been following the Bears and so much for so long and just been in Chicago that, it would be a waste to just shut it off. So, definitely looking for, you know, any other option to either, you know, cover the Bears, Chicago, anything, and just to stay, you know, like I've been saying the last few days when people ask me about this, just to stay in the game. I love being in the game. I love being a player, frankly, in sports, in Chicago media, and anything that can keep me into that, I definitely would, I'm definitely looking for. I still have a lot of energy. You know, I'm 65, but I feel much younger, and I just feel like I have a lot of enthusiasm and passion, and I'd hate to waste that on just, you know, yelling at my TV.
Well, you can still yell at your TV.
Not as much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that's fun at 15, but not at 65. But, you know, covering the Bears is as much fun now as it ever was, or just covering sports, I think, is as much fun now as it ever was. And I think that's really helped me a lot, is to, you know, maintain that passion. You know, people, I've been asked, like, I've covered, like, the Bears. Besides the Bears, cover the Bulls and the Hawks and Sox and Cubs. And as I got older, somebody once asked me, so what are you still doing this for? You know, because you really didn't have, you know, when I'm 60 or whatever, you really didn't have to. I said, you know, when I was 22 years old, if you would have told me I could cover the Bulls for the Chicago Sun-Times, I would have said, who do I got to kill? I'd do anything. And a little bit of that is still in me, you know, at 65. A little bit of that, you know, that joy that, you know, that still feels like what a great opportunity, what a great privilege it is to do that. And so that's why I like doing it, because it's great. I think everybody says that, right? As they get older, you still have, as soon as I lose that, I'm out, you know, that kind of thing. That's the way I feel, and I just feel like I still got it.
Well, you do. It sounds like your energy sounds great. If this can be any kind of job fair for you, I'm happy for that. I would love to see you stay in the game, in some of the games somehow. And I got to say that one of the reasons I think that, if I may guess at one of your reasons for energy, is the fact that we deal with the only legitimate reality show going. What we do, what sports is, it's not scripted like reality shows, which are just fake reality shows. It's all scripted. This isn't, unless you believe some of the Patrick Mahomes and the calls against that never went against Jordan and things like that. That may be scripted, but sports is a reality show. And you look at the ratings for the Super Bowl, for instance, and how it's 90 of the top 100 shows ever, those kind of things. That's one of the reasons to do it. It's what everybody's talking about. We're not good enough to play, Mark, but we're good enough to talk about it and write about it.
And I think that's what's great about covering sports, is that it's always different. And even on the, like, even, you know, the negative side to the, like, you know, we were just saying, you know, this year about, you know, we've been through all these bad Bear seasons all these years, and I've covered up plenty of them and stuff like that. But for a newspaper man, this was unlike anything else I'd ever seen. So, I mean, it was like, it was all like brand new to me. It was like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I went through a lot of the, I've gone through seasons before. Oh, it's the same old thing. And a lot of it is routine. As you get older, you don't, you know, you just get jaded and just bored with it. But boy, this season, even for a bad bear season, from a news standpoint, was just unbelievably interesting. And different, you know, even to the point where the Bears, you know, for the first time, you know, fired a coach in season. And so it's always, and that's just the negative, but even to the positive, all the good things, you know, whether it's the Bulls championships or the Hawks Stanley Cup runs, they're all so different. Every event is different. And I think that's what keeps people fresh in our business is that every, like you said, you know, everything changes and everything is real and this is, like you said, unscripted, and I think that that's made it, you know, like I always say, it's beats working for a living. It's that's what makes it like that, is that it's just it's a joy. So yeah, I agree with you 100% that's really what covering sports is all about.
So especially in this city, because we don't have real celebrities. Like, you go to L.A., you've been to L.A., you go to L.A., and movies are number one, and TV's number two, and streaming platforms are number three, and In-N-Out Burger is number four, and rollerblading, and SPF 15, and somewhere along the line comes sports, because they have real celebrities out there. They're going to Jack and Denzel. And, like, we don't have real celebrities. We had two, Fat Oprah and Thin Oprah, and both of them left town. And we don't have real celebrities. So the athletes become the celebrities. Jordan would have been that way anywhere. But we have real celebrities. The athletes became, we don't have real celebrities, so the athletes become them. And by sort of the fall of the washing off of them comes our importance. And that's what makes it interesting. Everybody's got an opinion on sports. And the way Rick Morrissey put it in his final column was really true, that everybody wants to ask a doctor of their opinion, and everybody lies to us who wants to talk about sports, just wants us to stand there silently and listen to every opinion they have, right?
Well, look at what we're doing now. We're talking sports on an all-sports station that's been around for 30 years, and there's also a competing station that does the same thing and has for a long time. And look how much passion there is for sports in Chicago. I'm not sure how unique it is. It's certainly different from somewhere like L.A., I've always said, you know, Chicago is the biggest small town in America, and we love our own. I've covered awful lot of, not to get off subject, but I've covered awful lot of high school sports in my time, in my career, and it certainly at the Sun Times. And I was just thinking back, I just made note of the fact that Ronnie Fields and Tom Kleinschmidt and John Shire were all high school All-Americans in Chicago who won championships last week. Ronnie won with, I think, Hope Academy, a state championship. Tom Kleinschmidt won his third title with DePaul Prep. And John Shire won the ACC tournament without his best player. And I pointed that out because those three, if I had to make a list of the three most celebrated athletes in Chicago media, it would be probably those three guys. I mean, they were. You talk about celebrity. Those guys were, you know, John Shire was bigger than some of the Bulls players. I mean, as far as how much publicity he got, and Ronnie Fields and Kleinschmidt the same way. So, like I said, we're the biggest small town in America. We love our sports, and so you're right. Anybody who does anything is a celebrity, and I think for the most part, that's been a great thing about working and living in Chicago.
So Robbie Triano, my producer, said, what advice would you give a young journalist besides stay out of Mark's way if he's going after a job? What advice would you give?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've talked to people about this. It's really tough for me to give advice because the game has changed so much. You know, it used to be, you know, in the old days, it used to be, well, you cover high school sports. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's not necessarily true anymore. No. I mean, there are so many avenues in social media to get your foot in the door that you really don't have to do that. So I'll be honest, I'm not in a position to really do that because the game has changed. I mean, that's one reason why, you know, it's kind of over for me, or might be, because, I mean, it's just so much different. So I'm not sure what the only advice, I mean, you know, like for a writer, I'd say just write a lot. That's all. That's all. I mean, write a lot and go and get in. I guess my advice would be is do whatever you can to get in the game. We've had a lot of people who have been like bloggers or I'm not sure that didn't come up the traditional way, but now they are now at the press conferences and they've been really, I think, a really good addition, certainly on the Bears beat, because they've had a chance to get in the game. And I think that's really, in this day and age, that's the most important thing. But I'll be honest, it's really hard for me to give advice because I'm a dinosaur and I didn't grow up with this. And somebody who has grown up with social media, you know, a younger person would actually have a better idea of how you really get into it than I would, to be honest. But I would just say, my only advice would just be be passionate, make sure you love what you're doing, and get in the game.
I think you're right. And without saying what Professor Lawrence Holmes and I have discussed this before, and his prime urging for any young, any aspiring radio person, journalist, whatever it is, get in the game with something you own. It could be a blog. It could be a vlog. It could be video. It could be any kind of platform. Your camera is your passport now. Do a podcast. Do something you own and not work for somebody who might threaten you with layoffs or you take the severance package. If you own it, that means you're in the game, you've done something, and you're constantly working and doing it. Whether you're writing, like I say, Mark, like you say, is excellent advice, but do something you can own. That's what Lawrence said, and I think that it's put really well.
And, you know, in addition to that, Wilson, if there's one thing I could say, to me, like the biggest, the best thing I have, my if there's a secret to my success, it's objectivity. And I am, you know, it's very hard. I've had a big advantage of being like a third guy in the Bears beat where I don't have to be the good cop. And so I've been able to be the bad cop. And in fact, you know, it's funny you ask me like advice. I'm very hesitant to give advice because my way is like counterintuitive. I don't really get, I don't get phone numbers. I don't really build relationships, like, which is the way you're supposed to do it. But just the way I do it, I've been successful being objective because that allows me to ask questions that maybe others wouldn't ask, or I don't favor anybody. I mean, no matter what. I mean, and so all I can say is for me, I think my biggest asset is my objectivity, and that's a very as anyone. There's a lot of good beat writers who you have to give a little to get a little to be a really good beat writer, and I'm fortunate. I didn't have to really do that in my job, so I think I would say if there's one thing, I think objectivity in this, especially in this day and age, where you know everybody kind of there's a lot of people you want to be the player's pal and you want to be close to people. I think that makes it even tougher to really report accurately about people. And so I'd say that's probably the biggest thing for me is just the whole idea of objectivity to the nth degree for me.
I think it's great. That's one. It's certainly a path to follow. Mark, I really appreciate your time. I'm hoping for good things. I'm hoping you get to achieve what you want to achieve, and then you're back in the game and being able to ask questions that put blood in people's urine. That's always a good sign.
Well, Steve, thanks very much. Always enjoyed being on your show, and I hope I can still keep doing this. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping for the best, but thanks as always for having me on your show.
Always. We'll find reasons to talk to you. Mark Potash, favorite guest here on Saturday Suckage. Take a break now. We come back. So it's an anniversary that has led to a list in the cultural zeitgeist. I will come back with that before we close out the show at 2 o'clock. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it. Do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
That's the anthem. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Ohms.
Owns.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
We have penetrated the culture. We have penetrated the cultural zeitgeist. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. You out of here at 2 o'clock. You know what today is, Robbie? March 22nd. You know what day? It's a national day. You know, I have like National Apple Pie Day, National...
Yeah. Are the Bears on the clock?
National Goof Off Day.
Oh.
That's what today is.
So, I goof off every day.
See? See? That's, they've given you a day. So this ties into the next one. If you want to goof off, buy a rug that really ties the room together. Because this is not just National Goof Off Day. This month, celebrated the anniversary. Mind if we do a J? Mind if we do a J? Right? This month marks the 27th anniversary of the debut, the release of The Big Lebowski. March 6th specifically was the day the film debuted in the United States. And that also has its national day, sort of. It's the day of the dude. His dudeness. El Duderino.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
One of the great lines. One of the great parts of a great movie. And I've decided this. I'm going to share this with everybody. It's one of the 10 greatest movies ever. And if you have a question, here is the unquestioned, spot-on, inarguable, shut-your-face list of top 10 movies of ever. Number one is Casablanca. I mean, they're not in order. They're sort of in order, but not necessarily in order. These are the group of 10. Casablanca, Godfather, Godfather 2, Goodfellas, Slapshot, Sound of Music, MASH, The Big Lebowski, Dogma, Advise and Consent.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yes, it is. It's my opinion. It's my list. 10 greatest movies ever. Casablanca, Godfather, Godfather 2, Goodfellas, Slapshot, Sound of Music, MASH, The Big Lebowski, Dogma, Advise and Consent. There you go.
What's the best guitar riff of all time? This is my favorite.
Yeah. It's certainly up there. We'll have to try to get it into the top 10 at some point. And I don't know if I don't know how many systems I'd have to be able to watch all 10. I, for one, can't find Dogma anywhere. It may be the smartest movie ever. Well, Casablanca is probably the smartest movie ever. Dogma's right there. Advise and Consent, I don't think you can find that anywhere. I don't know if you can find it on a DVD. And if you can you find a DVD player? Do you have a DVD player, Robbie?
I have, no. I don't. I used to, but I don't.
I was told I could get these movies on DVD. What is this DVD thing you speak of? Like, who's got a DVD player? You got all these platforms. But I don't want to pay for all these platforms.
Do you still have a VCR player? Did you throw it out?
I have a 4-track player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have Laserdisc?
Blu-ray? No. I don't want any of that. I want to rid myself of that technology. I want it to all be, here's my Moker Toll. That's what Allie used to call remote control. She's pregnant now. My
what?
Baby doll is pregnant.
Congratulations.
I'm going to be a Zeta or whatever I'm going to be.
Don't suck as a grandfather, okay?
No, I get to give them back. I know that's the part of it that is really the enjoyable thing. And here, you take this smelly little thing And so she used to call it a Moker toll, but I want the Moker toll to just be it. I just press a button and I get what I want. How come they don't have those things where you, like, I could just think, I want to watch Dogma, and it would immediately show up on my television. How far away from that technology are we? You're a young whippersnapper.
Well, the Apple made the Apple glasses, so I'm going to guess 5-10 years when they put the chips in our brain legally. They have to mandate a government chip in our brain.
Didn't they do that with the vaccines, the COVID vaccine? Isn't that going to form a chip in our brain? Yeah. Okay. 217 texture. That list was on brand with this show. It sucked. LOL.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yep. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The Big Lebowski is. And I'm not sure my otter, to answer another question earlier, my otter is the woman I love. One night we fell asleep holding hands like otters do, so the other one doesn't fall away, sleep away, or I mean, sorry, float away. That's what otters do. They hold hands. So we fell asleep holding hands. And so she's my otter. I'm her otter. That's where we go. So I whiteboarded the otter thing. I whiteboarded chalky chalk 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 for the nice Karen A, whoever that is. Do we have other? Oh, here's why we suck. Because we didn't realize Zach Davies, part of the Yu Darvish trade, something good showed up. He was part of a combined no-hitter. Comes through a combined no-hitter, which got him to the... No, it didn't get him to the playoffs, did it? No. Okay. Well, I guess you got an $8 million a year manager. You don't really don't need players to get you there, do you, if you got that manager?
Well, they bonded.
Bonding. We bonded on the flight. Yes, bonded. I do know that there's, I know the theory behind that. When I covered the Kings early in my hockey career out in L.A., the Islanders always seemed to be one of the teams, and those were the dynastic Islanders, even when they weren't winning Stanley Cups because the Oilers were. But the Islanders would come out to L.A. They would open the season. One of the first two games would be in L.A. against the Kings. Al Arbour would set it up, coach of the former Blackhawk defenseman, coach of the Islanders during their four straight Stanley Cups. And he would set have Bill Torrey, the GM, set up the schedule so they opened out west. It may have been Vancouver, Calgary, and L.A., but always L.A. And always, with a day there, he could take them, or two, day or two, take them to Palm Springs. Let the boys enjoy themselves. Palm Springs. Then he'd come in to play the Kings. And he'd walk into the locker room before the game, and he would tell them, you guys had a good time in Palm Springs, didn't you? Really enjoyed it, yeah. You guys lose this game, you'll never go to Palm Springs again. We will be in and out of L.A. so fast, you'll barely have time for a face-off. And that's what Al Arbour would do, and then the Islanders would wax the Kings, and they would get to go to L.A. the next year, and that's how we did it. So I understand the bonding thing. But if you can't get your pitching right, you can't really play defense, and you can't hit with runners in scoring position or hit at all if you're the 1-2-3 hitter or 2-3-4 hitters, you really don't think bonding's going to cover it. I said about an hour ago I wanted to bring you just the story of an American legend, the passing of boxer George Foreman. He was 76. While you were sleeping, he passed away. This is stuff that was just unbelievable. So I want to leave time before I get out of here at 2, to share it with you. Take a break when we come back, and I'll do just that. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This rug I have, it really tied the room together.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Welcome and welcome back. Indeed, I'm Steve Rosenblum, as the big voice guy said. Saturday Suckage. I actually don't have to. We've made enough mistakes, me and Robbie Triano, to back up, to stay on brand.
What are you talking about? We haven't made a single
one. Stay on brand, as we say. So while you were sleeping, heavyweight legend George Foreman passed away. He was 76. This is not just a remarkable boxer, but a remarkable story, as if concocted in some soap opera wrestling writer's scenario. I mean, he was in a gang in Houston, his hometown, and then became a gold medalist in the Olympics in 1968, at a time when several Americans were yanked from the Olympics, even though they won medals for what they did on the medal stand. George Foreman then became this scary, mean boxer as a heavyweight contender. And he became heavyweight champion. Then he got suckered by Muhammad Ali. He became heavyweight champion by taking the crown from Joe Frazier. He knocked Frazier down 6 times before scoring second round TKO. And that was the bout, in case you had any question, that was the bout that elicited Howard Cosell's iconic call.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
That's where it came from. George Foreman knocked him down 6 times, and there was a second round TKO, and that was it. So he's heavyweight champ, George Foreman is. And then he agrees to fight Muhammad Ali, Rumble in the Jungle, in Zaire. And George Foreman was angry and taking it personal the way Ali talked about him, with the poetry and the insults, and Ali doing what Ali does. And George Foreman got angry. And George Foreman came after him and after him and after him and after him. In front of 60,000 fans in that stadium in Kinshasa, Zaire, 1974, the Rumble in the Jungle, Ali suckered him. He sucked him in. George Foreman got tired. George Foreman got tired. The rope-a-dope allowed Muhammad Ali to knock out George Foreman. The Rumble in the Jungle, and Muhammad Ali regained the heavyweight championship. That bout, by the way, that was back when boxing was on television. You remember television? It wasn't a streaming platform. It was always had. It was the most watched live television broadcast in history at the time. And maybe you remember the movie won an Academy Award, When We Were Kings. It was an excellent movie. That was about that fight, the Rumble in the Jungle. So a couple years later, Foreman announces his retirement. It's a fight against Jimmy Young, and he's dehydrated. He's lost. He's just nowhere where he wants to go. And found God, heard God, said he heard God. And God helped him start a ministry. So George Foreman, gang member, Olympic champion, heavyweight champion, a heavyweight loser, and at odds, became a minister. But this story is not done, because there are many turns left to go. By 1987, he was running out of money, and he didn't know how to do anything else. He could preach and he could box. Came back to the ring to raise money for his ministries. That's what his website biography says. And then it began his second stint as a heavyweight. So he's fighting and he's fighting and he's fighting. And he's, you know, maybe he's a gimmick, maybe he's not. He has 23 straight victories. And then he gets a shot at Evander Holyfield. Holyfield beats him. So that ends the streak. First defeat in 14 years. But because he's a draw, he's George Foreman, he gets a shot against Michael Moore, the International Boxing Federation, IBF heavyweight champion Michael Moore. Foreman was unranked coming off this loss in 1993. But he had a famous name. He also had a famous commercial, because somewhere in there, the George Foreman grill was unveiled, created, unveiled, and this fat guy is talking about a grill for a lean, mean meal, the George Foreman grill. Kids, ask your parents. It was all the rage. You paninied the fat out of everything, which means you paninied the taste out of everything. But George Foreman became huggable. Look, this scary, this beast, this monster, this powerful man. From 20, 30 years earlier, he became a grill salesman. And now he's boxing again. He also had a starring role in George. That was on ABC. That was a sitcom. On your TV. He was on George. Not a long time. So at 45 years old, he's facing the 26-year-old Michael Moore. He's wearing the same red trunks he wore when he lost to Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle. And he kind of did to Michael Moore what Ali did to him. He let Moore swing away and punch and land combinations and just get him off just enough. Moore wasn't listening to Teddy Atlas's trainer, as Teddy Atlas would tell you later. He would tell me that later. I was there. I was there. It's my grobber voice. I was there. Foreman threw a left jab, and then he threw a straight right that might have been a redwood. That right arm of George Foreman went right into Michael Moore's jaw in the 10th round and knocked him out. Three rows from ringside, next to my notepad was Michael Moore's blood. That's how hard that hit was. That's how far it splattered. That's George Foreman. That was the comeback. Became the oldest heavyweight champion in the world, trained by Angelo Dundee, who trained Muhammad Ali. And George Foreman became a legend. He defended his title a couple times. That was it. He sold Foreman Grill, George Foreman Grill, for $137.5 million. And he came to become Muhammad Ali's best friend. And Muhammad Ali became his best friend. It all came full circle. I was there. And I can't let this go without George Foreman had 12 children. Five of them were named George. No lie. You can look it up. Five of them are named George.
That's easy to remember.
All right, if nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Don't understand, or maybe I could just applaud you for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!